At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome to the Mostly Pod of the Night. Mostly, I am Graveyard, joined by my co-host, Salem.
Hello.
This is episode 159 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. And, you know, seemingly contrary to what most horror fans believe, Bruce Campbell has done more than just Evil Dead. You know, we saw him live a couple years ago, and he tries to pound that in people's heads, and they just didn't care to listen.
Yeah, my favorite of that night was he spent... How long? 30 minutes
mm-hmm.
talking about how when you meet a celebrity, don't ask them about what they're known for. Ask them about some kind of obscure thing to like, then they'll actually want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he used the example of when he talked to William Shatner, he didn't ask him about Star Trek. He asked him about T.J. Hooker.
Right.
And the power slide in T.J. Hooker. And he said like, yeah, he just lit up and he just, you know, started talking about it. And it was fun. And then immediately after he said that, he's like, does anybody have any questions? And the jackass stood up and was like, yeah, what was it like working on Evil Dead 2? Like, and you could just see his face deflate. You know, he's just like, I just spent 30 minutes fucking talking to you, telling you not to ask me that question.
Yep.
And the idiots just got up and asked it. And I was like, wow, man.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we were to the odd people out of that room of 1,000.
Yeah, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, I like Bruce Campbell, but like some people like worship him. You mm-hmm. know, I don't quite get that, but yeah, he's done a lot of things other than Evil Dead, and some people just can't quite yeah. grasp that concept.
Yeah. Oh, easily. But yeah, that's why we kind of made this here as well, because you know, some of them are good. Some of them live up to, you know, confessions of a B actor, B movie actor. And I'd say it's kind of a mixed bag in tonight's episode, right? And we've served up three from his back catalog, so we can finally maybe stop hailing to the king and get into his other work and appreciate his other stuff with Mind Warp from 1992, Bubba Hotep from 2002, and The Woods, that eventually released in 2006. I saw a trailer for it back in like 2004 and waited many years for it to come out, not thinking it was ever going to. But finally it did. Yeah, I'm excited. I don't think I ever watched Mind Warp before this. I may have. It may have been a very long time. But it's kind of one of those obscure ones.
Yeah, the funny part is I know for a fact I've seen the beginning of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember if it was like on cable and I just, you know, changed a channel or left or something, or if it was like I started watching it and I'm like, yeah, I don't like this movie, and I just turned off. I don't know which one, but it was before it got interesting, because mm-hmm. like the first, like, I don't know, whatever, 20 minutes is just kind of like a girl and her mom like in like a virtual reality machine, and I was like, this is the whole movie, this is dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish I would have hung on for the rest.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I'll start off with Mind Warp from 1992. As you said, it starts off with a mother and daughter that are like TX-1138 Matrix. It's the best way I can kind of describe it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, they live in virtual reality mm-hmm. to the point to where they don't care. They literally wake up to eat and piss and shit, and then go back in.
Yep.
That's it.
They shouldn't be skinny. Their muscles should be atrophied. And let's face it, whatever Mr. Coffee's green sludge looked disgusting. That doesn't seem like a lot.
Well, yeah, it's like, that's like sludge to keep you alive.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, essentially the the daughter kind of is like, oh, I miss dad. I wish dad was still here. Mom, what can we talk about? She's like, no, don't question anything. Just go back to the virtual reality. And then she like invades her mom's virtual reality and pushes her off stage and then ends up like killing her. And then like the powers that be in Infinitum, right?
Yeah, whatever, something like Infinitum, that.
Like
yeah.
Whatever they made up is like, hey, AI overlord, that's clearly a person. You have been punished. You must be exiled to the outskirts. And it's now, it's 2037. And we lost the ozone layer. And yet we only have snow some places. And which doesn't even make sense. We'll get into that later. But yeah, essentially she's in the dead zone and irradiated. And like, you're going to die if you're in there. And there's like pits. Pits there that are like quicksand, stuff like that, and she kind of falls into one, and she gets seemingly rescued by mutated goblin Mad Max warriors, I think is the best way to describe them.
They're just your average run-of-the-mill like radioactive mutants.
Yeah, but she kind of gets captured, and she's kind of saved, but then getting captured by them, then a guy shows up and is dressed to the teeth to make sure that he's not going to have any radiation poisoning, saves her and brings her back. And look, it's Bruce Campbell. And he's like, yeah, you need to not go out there. You need to be covered. And those are mutants. And, I'm going to teach you the ways of the world because you're exiled. You're no longer part of the people that were jacked in. This is your life now. Here's how you determine if quicksand is good or not. If you poke it and it doesn't cave in, walk on it. If you poke it and it does cave in, don't go on it. Great. That's really great. You have a 3-foot radius you can try to walk every time. But yeah, it kind of learns, tells everything that's happened. We kind of destroyed it. I don't know if they really said how they destroyed the ozone, other than we did it.
Well, in the 90s, there was a lot of talk about
the whole ozone. Yeah.
Yeah. So like everybody assumed that the ozone layer was going to go away and everybody was going to die. It was just a matter of time.
Right.
So yeah, I think that's just a product of the times. They don't tell you why, because people in 1992 would have understood why.
Right. Yeah. So while all that is kind of going through all that stuff, she gets to meet and learn everything else. Like, oh, here's my family. I had to get rid of the bodies because they're just going to get eaten because they're also cannibals. Because, of course, the irradiated human beings are also cannibals because that's what happens at that point in time. So they're kind of figuring out all this stuff that's going on there. And she is eventually gets captured by a group of people and taken to their underground village because that's how the last humans are kind of living. They don't live on the surface, but they're not okay. They're some of them have some imperfections. Some are quite, mutated. And she's like, hey, you don't have any marks on you. You have no burns. You must be there. Oh, you're going to be a bloater. That means, be used to give birth to people because, radiation makes people sterile. Surprise, surprise. And kind of going through that, but while that's going on there, she kind of tries to manage escape. Stover gets captured and gets put in the mines, where they're just harvesting a garbage dump for treasure, I guess.
One man's trash is another man's treasure. Right?
So yeah, so that he's working. Stover, Bruce Campbell's working the mines, and she gets to meet the seer. And hey, it's this thing, and we worship people, and here's what we do. We take a person, we slide them down their chute, and they get pulverized into blood, and we drink their blood, and we have a whole religious ceremony about it. Don't get weird about it. It's just religion. And all that's going on there, and she's talking to the guy, and she finds out that, surprise, surprise, it's her dad from the past. When he got exiled as well, he kind of organized the cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers, if you will, and made a religion over it and just trying to find all this cool stuff and find ways to kind of, get back in, or just trying to figure out a way to like worship the machines.
He's giving them a purpose.
Yeah.
He's essentially creating a cult with himself as the head.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he wants to continue his legacy.
Yeah, so as they're the only two people that can produce offspring, they should mate and make more children to do it. While that's going,
which is weird considering the ending context.
Yes. Very weird.
I'll bring it up once you. Yeah. I'll let you.
Yes. Say. So Stover escapes. The more blood and guts, and he's fighting his way through. But he eventually gets captured and puts in like irradiated water and starts kind of partially mutating in a way. Anyway, and they're about to. You know, she rejects the religion, and her dad's gonna sacrifice her just to appease it. But she's able to, you know, stop the churning blade with a baseball bat. And then she eventually gets the dad to, you know, fall in, and he gets pulverized and drink his blood. And Stover is kind of like still infected and chasing after. He's like, hey, don't go into the Deadlands. Hey, wait. And then he kind of teleports, and all of a sudden, boom, she's back in front of the AI machine. And my goodness, it's her dad.
Right. Says, now, right. He made up that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he made up the part where he had to bone his daughter.
Yes.
That's messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be my first question if I was her. Like, if you made that whole thing, why were you trying to bone me the whole time? What the fuck is wrong with you,
Dad? Yeah, a little bit. But he kind of ends as like, hey, you need to take over the sysadmin job, and you now run Infinite Sync or Synth, whatever the hell they call it. Okay, I didn't realize a person needs to be in charge of the AI, but sure.
This is 1992, man.
I guess. And so she's like, oh, that was all a dream, or, you know, whatever. Without being jacked in, which is pretty impressive, I gotta say. Not being plugged in to have that VR hallucination with bone in your dad.
She was plugged in.
The entire time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Must have missed that.
Well, they don't show it.
Yeah.
Because it ends with her putting on the magic hat. Which,
yeah.
But because she's still in the system, she's just taking the sysop role from her dad.
Right.
But, like, yeah, when she went back under, because, you know, eventually she woke up and they took her outside. Mm-hmm. She just, that was all a dream. So right. She's still under the whole time.
Right. Okay.
You'd imagine that she'd have to get up to piss and eat.
You'd
at
think
some
so.
Point there, because it was like over a few days, but.
You'd think so. Who knows? Yeah. The movie's not really clear about all that stuff. So yeah, like I said, I vaguely remember this, but I didn't remember anything of this plot in the least bit. And I was watching, like, I think you would have enjoyed this because it's post-apocalyptic, cyberpunk-esque.
There's not really any cyberpunk in there, but definitely post-apocalyptic. So yeah, it does get points for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So why don't you go first for your highlights?
Yeah, like I just said, it's apocalypse mutants and gear. So that's, I mean, fun stuff. Mm-hmm. I'd really dig that. It's fun to see Angus Scrimm in another role.
Yeah.
Besides the fucking horrible shit Phantasm movies that he was in. This is the only, I mean, I know he's been in a lot of other stuff, but this is the only other one I can see him in. I don't remember him being in anything else.
He looks fairly normal.
Right. Yeah. It's like he's not, you know, an alien saying weird shit all the time. Just mm-hmm. a normal dude. Well, normal dude trying to bone his daughter.
Right.
They like the sysop hat with all the goopy tubes and wires coming out of it was kind of sort of cool. I enjoyed mm-hmm. that. And then the quote unquote twist. I know you can see it coming from a mile away, but it's still fun.
Mm-hmm.
I like when it, you know, you realize the whole thing's just a dream, because usually it's terrible,
right?
and pointless, but yeah, still fun. That's all I got.
All right. Of course, for me, this is one of the three Fangoria movies that they made in the 90s that essentially got lost to time. It disappeared for a long while. I was reading about it. It took like years for people to find a copy of it and then restore it and all that stuff, which is pretty interesting. Now you can tell that Fangoria won it because it is bloody, like squirts of blood, but that's not necessarily the best looking mutants, I guess, is a good way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay, you could tell somebody put a lot of time into the masks.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that they didn't plan for those masks to move.
Right.
So these things are like talking and nothing is moving.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's a lot of footage of.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Them just staring at people because that's all they can do.
Right.
So like you see their eyes behind the mask and then the mask is completely still. And that's, mm-hmm. I think that like, but the mask looks good. It just, it takes you out of it because the mask never moves.
Right.
It's like, you know, in Planet of the Apes, when you can see the whole like mouth part moving every time they talk, you know, it's yep. just like, okay, you can totally tell that's a weird mask. It's like, why?
I mean, better than, you know, Jeepers Creepers Reborn masks.
Oh, so. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. They're not and wearing garbage bags.
Right. And of course, Bruce Campbell and Angus, you know, as you said, got to jack in with your VGA expansion port.
I think that was like a serial port.
The name is serial.
I think it was VGA. This is 92. I'm pretty sure that was a serial port.
Do you remember those? You're able to go to Radio Shack and go to their drawer and get like the adapters is like one of those just glued to someone's neck. That's like the little like half inch thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And it's, you know, this is only 12 years away from this ozone layer disappearing. So that's great.
Well, I'm pretty sure that 12 years away from the world completely disintegrating. Because the ozone layer, I'm pretty sure the ozone layer would have already been gone if this was our actual timeline.
Fair. You know, like says the gore, but you know, cannibals with religion, pretty interesting. Generally, don't see it. So I thought it was an interesting point of it, but that's all I have for my highlights. Low points, of course, is that diarrhea. It's not sludge that they were forced to drink and thought it was the greatest thing in the world. Like, that's disgusting.
I don't think they thought it was the greatest thing in the world. I think it was just they were doing it because it meant they could just drink that and then get right back in the thing.
I'd rather have someone just put an IV bag into it so I don't have to see it.
Right. I mean, yeah, in reality, that's probably what they would do because people don't want to get up. They would just put in a catheter and a bedpan and get fed through the IV, and then that's where that would be their whole life. They would just never leave.
Mm-hmm.
You'd need someone to like clean up after you, I guess, or like a robot to do it or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, you would never have to get out of it.
Yeah. I thought it was funny when she's being captured by them that they just gently put something in her mouth that she couldn't easily have just spit out.
Right. Yeah. She's just sitting there. I'm like, that's not really a gag. It's just like sitting right in the first inch of your mouth. Like you can push it out with your tongue easily.
Yep. Yeah, but eventually she did it after like multiple minutes.
Right.
You know, the masks, as you said, weren't that great to work with while moving. If there was no ozone, why would there be like a nuclear winter on the water? There'd be no water, first off.
No, there'd be water. I mean, ozone doesn't like it. Ozone is not, doesn't make it super hot. So like things aren't going to like burn up. No ozone means you have no protection from the sun's radiation.
Right.
So it's not, I mean, obviously things are probably going to be warmer, but it's not going to like, it's not like super sun is going to evaporate all the moisture in its whole area.
Well, I mean, for he's saying that it's winter, there really wasn't a lot of snow other than a little bit in the water.
No. So. Well, we also don't know where they were.
That's true.
If you're in like Mexico, winter is probably about that.
Yeah, that's fair. In the juice-o-matic, the human juice-o-matic, if that old ass baseball bat that's wood is able to stop the blades from moving, I think a bone might be able to as well. Maybe.
I mean, in theory. Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, that just seemed weird to me. And, you know, of course, the ending of the AI needs a operator, a sys operator, still is weird. Like, I don't know the purpose of the human interface in this AI environment.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily AI, it's just a program, right? You need somebody to watch it to make sure that people aren't getting crazy. You know, you don't want somebody like going, I want to be a serial killer and murder everyone. Because then, like, if they come out, they're going to be a murderer that now has had a lot of experience murdering people. It's probably like that. It's probably just like a limitation, like watching people to make sure they're not getting stupid.
Maybe. It just seemed unnecessary to, I think.
Yeah, this is also 92. Yes, yeah. They were aware of AI, but it was a concept.
Mm-hmm.
It was like you have to read books. You have to read like Isaac Asimov to know what AIs and robots would do. Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't think it's all that strange.
Yeah. But that's what I have. What are your low points?
I will say Judy's acting is horrible. I mean, wow. I don't know if she ever did another acting job, but she deserves to never work again. Like that was horrible. The future tech that they have looked like shit. Looks like they just like made it out of paper mache. Like it was like, okay, guys, you could have tried. You could have done something like repurpose something that looks futuristic.
I mean, what, you know, James Cameron just used like McDonald's styrofoam containers and spray painted them and look decent,
right? Yeah, or like ice trays, right? It's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They still have the Bible in the post-apocalyptic radioactive mutant future,
and that's all they read. Okay, yeah,
that's lame. Okay, in the beginning, there's this dude. I'm like, wait, what? Like the dude that injects the girl with the drug before she gets like exiled, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was carrying a full syringe in his pocket with no protection on the needle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure you would have like slipped and fell and like stabbed yourself, or even, you know, just like shifted, you know, wrong, and you're like, oh shit, I just knocked myself out. Like, dude, you put a guard over the fucking needle or whatever the fuck. Like, so what is wrong with this dude?
Yeah.
And again, the mutant masks we already talked about, but it was like another one that I was like, wait a minute. Like the old man, his hood that he was wearing was like human leather, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it had eyes in it. Eyes don't make leather.
What?
Like, if you pull an eyeball out of a head, it like deflates. You know, it's like an orb of water. You can't like, and he had like leather that just looked like eyeballs. Hmm. All over. Like, I'd be like, oh, it's gonna be freaky to put eyeballs in there, but like, dude, think of the logistics of actually using an eyeball as leather. It does not work. Like, yeah. Eye holes, sure, but not the actual eyeball. I don't know, just like I'm sitting there looking at it, I'm like, that's not a thing. You can't do that. I understand it's post-apocalyptic, you know, fantasy film, but mm-hmm. It bothered me. And that's all I got.
All right, so our out-ofs this week, I determined there's going to be secret societies, because there's pretty much secret societies in these. Whether they're real or not, I guess, is really the question. So, Salem, how many secret societies out of 10 do you give Mind Warp from 1992?
I mean, let's be honest, it's not a good
one. No.
but to me, it gets a lot of point. Again, I have a soft spot for really shitty B sci-fi mm-hmm. stuff. I really do. I don't, even if it's terrible, I still like it. Sometimes mm-hmm. I like it because it's terrible. I guess that's how people are with horror movies. That's how I get with really bad sci-fi, especially in the 80s and 90s.
Right. That your sci-fi is your cheesy B goodness, and horror right. is my cheesy B goodness.
Yeah, like I like watching them and they're like, holy shit, this is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But still fun. Like Future Kill. It's fucking horrible, but still fun to mm-hmm. me. Most people probably would hate it. Anyway, So it gets a lot of points from being all that kind of stuff. So again, not a good movie, but gets a lot of points for style and effort. I'll give it a 5.
Yeah, it's one of these movies that first and foremost does not exist on Laserdisc, because I already looked. It does not exist that way.
I'm pretty sure. Did it even exist on VHS?
No. It didn't. And that was the thing. It supposedly got like a home release, but like no one was able to ever find one. So maybe it exists at some point in time.
Maybe it's like it was like hardware. It was like a movie that I rented once. I know it existed, but I could never find it.
Yeah, it somehow got to Blu-ray in 2013. But yeah. Oh man, this was filmed in Michigan. That's where Bruce Campbell lived at that point in time.
Right. So. I was like, they probably picked him up on the corner.
Yeah, they essentially said this is straight to VHS fare, so it's very true. That all being said, yeah, it's an interesting thing to look at, because this came out like a year before Army of Darkness. Right? So this is kind of like that weird area that wasn't a Sam Raimi-esque thing, but still Bruce doing horror-esque things that we were, as he did more without Sam as he's gone on. But yeah, I will agree. I will give this 5 Secret Societies out of 10. It's an interesting watch at least once.
Yeah, like I said, it's fun. It's not... you won't hate yourself for watching it once. Again, I would... Don't own it. Don't watch it again. But if you haven't seen it, it's a fun, you know, retro kind of nostalgic vintage watch for sure.
Yes. All right. So take us through Bubba Hotep from 2002.
Okay. There's going to have to be a lot of suspension of disbelief to start the story. And so basically we'll start it off as Bruce Campbell plays Elvis. Mm-hmm. But Elvis, if he faked his own death, kind of, and is now living in an old folks home in Texas. But like a poor person's, you know, home, right? So like, you know, there's like literally one nurse for the entire place, like day and or night.
Yep.
We never see another one. And then there's another guy who thinks he's JFK, even though he's an old black man.
Yep.
And he's got an excuse for everything. Like, you know, JFK was white, right? And he's like, yeah, they dyed me this color. And he's like, well, he got shot in the head. He's like, yeah. Like, he's like, yeah, they took all the brains out and they put a bag of sand up there. Mm-hmm. Like, again, he's got an excuse for everything. He's got surprisingly, like a private room that looks much nicer than the other rooms. He's got like weird pictures of like Lee Harvey Oswald on the wall and stuff. Like, It's goofy. It's a goofy thing. Anyway, so these are the two basically main characters here. We have, like I said, we have the nurse that kind of pops in just to kind of be like a kind of target for Elvis's goofiness.
Yeah.
But essentially, so story boils down to there is an Egyptian mummy that is inexplicably dressed like a cowboy, who needs souls to survive. Now, he was apparently woken up because a bunch of people stole some Egyptian relics and put it on a bus, and then the bus crashed. And so, like, he finally, his sarcophagus opened up, and he is now, like, you know, needs souls to survive. Mm-hmm. So he settles on this old folks' home because he can eat the souls of these old people really easily. He doesn't get a lot of power from them, but he gets some. And they can't really fight back because they're like old and senile.
Right.
You know, whatever. And for some reason, he likes to suck it out through their ass. But it has to be a bodily orifice is where what he needs to suck their soul out. So
black JFK says so, yes.
Correct. Yeah. So, yeah, we see multiple people die. We see Elvis and JFK both fight off like a giant beetle thing, which is apparently like, I don't know, the cowboy mummy's like familiar or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's his scarab, his pet scarab.
Yeah, right. Never seen a mummy have a pet beetle before, but sure, why not? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, they find a bunch of clues, like, you know, there's like writing on the bathroom wall that's like in hieroglyphics, and, you know, blah, whatever. They start reading books and they find out about the mummy, and they're like, oh, you know, we gotta defeat the mummy before he kills everybody here. So of course, like, Elvis has to dress up in his, you know, Vegas stage outfit.
It's his uniform.
And then JFK, even though, like, earlier in the film, he was walking around just fine. Mm-hmm. For some reason, in the third act of the film, he has a motorized wheelchair.
He's tired, okay?
Well, I'm just saying, like, he was walking around fine. Like, he was actually in better health than Elvis was.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, in the third act, he has a motorized wheelchair for, like, no reason. I was very confused about that. But anyway, so they have, like, a big kind of showdown with the mummy, and they, like, keep trying to spray him with, like, gasoline and alcohol and set him on fire. And then they do, and then they fight back and blah, blah, blah. So JFK ends up dying in the attempt, and then Elvis ends up burning it.
Yep.
But
after he's, like, impaled with something too, so he's dying as well.
Right. So yeah. So Elvis and JFK eventually defeat the mummy.
Yep.
Yay. I don't know, is there anything else you want to throw in there?
No, I mean, that's pretty much the gist of it. It's just Elvis trying to come to terms with, like, explain how he got to be there, why they think he's Sebastian. Because that was, you know, the big impersonator. He's like, switch place with him. He's like, I should have gone back to his life and stuff like that. But he's like, oh, I'm just dying. I wonder if Priscilla thinks me. And my daughter, he says Priscilla a lot, but he never says his daughter's name, which is pretty interesting.
Well, it's kind of funny because Priscilla is still alive.
Yep.
But his daughter is not.
I mean, at this point in time, she was still alive.
Well, it says present day.
Yeah.
True. Well, here's what I like. The people in this home are delusional.
Almost every single one of them are.
No, they all are. He's not Elvis. He just thinks he is. He never says any real information that, like, someone who's just an outside fan of Elvis would know.
Yeah.
Like, he's literally just, like, repeating shit that you could have read in newspaper articles. He never says anything personal. Which is, again... Mm-hmm. Odd. So it's like, yeah, one guy thinks he's JFK, obviously not. And so again, you should look at Elvis and be like, yeah, this guy is definitely not Elvis. Like there's the one guy that thinks he's a fucking Lone Ranger.
Yep.
And shit. There's like, yeah, we don't really get introduced to many other people, but everybody seems like they're delusional.
iron lung.
Right. Yeah. We get caricatures, but we don't actually get to introduce to them. But yeah. Again, they just all seem like they're delusional and, like, you know, have heavy dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. That's my take.
Yeah. I was going to ask that because I'll go first with my highlights. Is, you know, I was going to ask you, do you really think they're JFK and Elvis? I mean, Elvis, you can maybe see potentially, right? You know, it's interesting they had that flashback to him and Sebastian, and I'm sure they did know each other back in the 70s. I'm sure that was a thing, because wasn't he like legitimately like the most famous Elvis impersonator?
I have no idea.
Okay, so I thought he was.
I don't follow Elvis that much to know who his impersonators are.
Yeah.
I know there are Elvis impersonators.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's the flying Elvises.
Yes.
I don't know. That's about all I know.
Yeah. And it's interesting. This is based off a short story that I'm pretty sure in the short story, it is actually Elvis and it is actually JFK, which is interesting.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the way that it's presented in this film, it's highly, highly likely that they're all just.
Yeah. I do find the premise interesting because you think about, like, you know, why would a mummy go to an old folks' home? And yeah, if you're a soul eater, sure, easy prey. I get that. So it does kind of make sense. But at some point in time, like, you're going to get shut down because, like, people are dying, like, every couple of days in your home there.
Well, it's a nursing home.
Yeah.
And it's like a state funded nursing home. Like, yeah, people die all the time.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that, you know, these two potentially not people they say they are have the hero's ending. They did defeat the mummy. Cool. I believe this is based off the idea of this is like off of Elvis's cheesy action flicks that he did make in the 50s and 60s, and that was the inspiration for it. Like, there's like a canceled him fighting mummies movie, I think that was the inspiration for the short story to make this movie. And did you notice this is made by Don Cascelli, who did the first Phantasm movies, the first four of them?
Oh boy.
So we, you know, the nursing home administrator was Reggie.
Yeah. You know. I wasn't even paying attention.
Oh, okay. But yeah, that was Reggie. I'm like, it's Reggie. I don't think I knew
we had
that.
We had Angus Grimm and Mind Warp, and now we got Reggie in this one.
Mm-hmm. It's all connected, man.
Yeah.
That's what I have. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. The concept it's ridiculous but fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have fun with it, and it's entertaining for sure. Again, Elvis and JFK, delusional but fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it makes for interesting, fun stories, you know. And then at the very end of the credits, they do say that coming next is Bubba Nosferatu. I want to see that.
There's a story about that.
Where is it at? I want to see Bubba Nosferatu.
There's a story about that.
That's it for my highs. Let's go into lows. Giant Beatles. No, thank you. Now here's an interesting thing, right? Because who do you think of as being a leader of Egypt when you think of Egypt?
Ramses.
Most people would say Cleopatra.
Yeah,
I guess you're not most people, but so there's, like, you know, this ancient mummy wrote on the wall of the bathroom, like, you know, Cleopatra's whatever bitch, or I forgot what it was, but it's definitely Cleopatra. Now the funny thing is
we're closer to her than she is to them.
Well, yeah, like the ancient, like, the pyramids were, mm-hmm, 3,000 years before Cleopatra.
Right.
And it's only 2,000 years from us to Cleopatra.
Yep.
So Cleopatra was not around when this guy was put into a sarcophagus. So there's no way that he would put Cleopatra's a bitch on the wall. He wouldn't have any idea who Cleopatra was.
Mm-hmm.
Cleopatra wasn't even Egyptian. She was Greek.
Correct.
She was from the Ptolemaic dynasty. Ptolemy, who was a general of Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he would have no idea who that was. It's just a nitpicky thing. But again, most people think of Cleopatra when they think of Egypt. But yeah, she was not. She was part of the later era.
Towards, like, damn near the end of it.
Right. So you have a movie with Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are no Elvis songs.
Yep.
In the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge missed opportunity. You could have licensed at least one. Showed it in, like, the flashback scene, or, you know what I mean? Something.
Yeah.
But no Elvis songs in a movie with Elvis. And again, there's no other nurses in this entire thing. Like, day or night, there's only one nurse.
Hey, she needs her cigarette breaks because she's the only one working. Okay?
Well, fuck yeah. She deserves more than that. She's working like 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we see multiple days, and she's the only one that ever interacts with any, like, all of these characters. It's just her.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's bad. That's all I got. Go ahead with yours.
Yeah. No sequel. The Bubba Nosferatu was originally slated to be a joke. And then the movie came out, and then came out on DVD, and people were like, oh, I want to see Bubba Nosferatu, because it's supposed to be a prequel. And there's actually a story that was written for Bubba Nosferatu as well. So it should have been made into a movie, but there was, I guess, a lot of issues. The guy got busy doing other stuff. Bruce didn't like the script that came with it. And in 2017, they actually made a comic book of it. Of Bubba and the blood-sucking vampires, whatever it was. And eventually then became a Bubba Hotep meets Army of Darkness, so, you know, his two characters can meet. So just kind of like how Freddy versus Jason versus Ash turned out to be. That's how Bubba Nosferatu ended up being as well.
Lame.
I know. There's still fingers crossed talks about a movie still coming out. But now he's a lot closer to being that old person age. So
right. He doesn't have to wear like, a gray wig anymore.
As opposed to being, you know, only 42-ish when that movie was made now.
A terrible makeup, by the way. Like yeah. whenever he moves his mouth, you can see the glue holding his like jowls on.
Yeah. That's true. I think his acting of Elvis was pretty decent for being a B horror movie. I don't think the other actor JFK, I don't think the other acting was good in the slightest.
Well, yeah, but they like they kept lining up the whole like he way overdid the thing very much.
Mm-hmm.
Like he must have said it like 20 fucking times in the movie. Like they kept like setting him up to say it over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
Like we get it. Yes, Elvis said that. There are other things that Elvis said. Please use other things.
Yeah. But I said the other acting was just not good. So, that's what I have for my low points. I will go first for number of secret societies. Like I love this movie. Unshamedly, I love this movie to no end. Do I think it's the greatest movie of all time? No. No. But I think Bruce fit the role really, really well. So I will give this 7.5 secret societies out of 10. How about you?
Yeah, I mean it's good. It's worth watching once. Yeah, this is like my second time watching it. I don't feel the need to ever watch it again.
Ah.
But I'll have 6.
Okay.
Do 6.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to check to see if I don't think I have the Bubba Nosferatu comic. If I did, I'd let you borrow it so you can read what the story was going to be.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be trash.
Probably. But all right. Last up, we have The Woods from 2006, which isn't a main Bruce Campbell lead movie, but it's also going back to our director spotlight of Lucky McKee, because this is one of his movies. And the premise is not a lot. Let's put it gently like that. Essentially, we are introduced to Heather, who is being put into an all-girls boarding school, and this is 1965 because she started a fire. She has trouble at school, so that she's brought to this, you know, all-girls school led by older women, and you know, you can tell something's off kind of right off the bat. And she kind of starts to notice little things here and there that, you know, she has a bully that likes to call her Firecross. She has made friends with this chick who they think is gay. And she's kind of going through studies and, you know, she's going through and she's like, I caused a fight. I'm going to get kicked out. Let me call my parents. Like, yeah, no, you kind of got to stay here because we can't send you anywhere else. We have, you know, we don't have lots of funds, but here, take this special test to see if you have a scholarship. Well, you know, try to finish these, what, 3 pages in the time frame? Never says time frame. And she's just randomly circling stuff, like how you feel, what shapes like that. And she cuts herself on the really thick-ass paper.
Well, the paper also looked like it was, like, chewed up.
Yes.
And spit back out, and then, like, flattened. Like, it looks disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. But she cuts herself on it, and they're like, oh, you passed. You have a scholarship. Now you get to take special classes. At that point in time, you realize, okay, something's witchy going on here. Pretty quickly, I think, is obvious. And, yeah, and she's going through this and like, oh, you're now the special student. She's taking these special classes. She's kind of able to, like, feel things and hear the woods calling to her. And almost starts to kind of, like, balance on her chair perfectly because, you know, balancing thing is the most witchy trait you can ever think of. And, you know, she's still having issues. And one girl that, like, before she got there, tried killing herself, and he brought her to the psych ward and took care of her. And then she eventually comes back, and the next night she, like, disappears. Like, there's this thick fog, and she's trying to protect herself, and she just disappears and turns, like, a pile of leaves the next morning. And she's like, okay, that's weird. She's like, okay, we have to figure out what's going on there. She fights the bully and a lot more, knocks her up a lot, which then seems like knocks some sense into her. Right? She's like, oh, yeah, you need to get out of here. I'm just trying to warn you. Well, you could just warn her and not be a bitch about it, quite honestly. But yeah, she's like, oh, we got to get out of here. You know, the woods are calling you. There's a murder that happened here. This, you know, this school was a school for witches back in the day, and they killed their headmistresses with axes, and they just never left. Cool. Her other friend is learning to sing a lot. And yeah, more spooky things happen. Eventually, another girl, her friend, gets taken in the middle of the night again. And they're like, how do we not hear this? But that's weird. Like, well, don't drink the milk. There's something in the milk. Her bully tells her, who then is found, you know, hung in the cafeteria. Cops come in, like, well, you know, we gotta find these other, this, you know, girl. She just went missing. Like, well, about the other girl? Like, what? We didn't know that. Cop goes to investigate the woods, and his car's like, engine's like ripped out by the trees. And he's, oh shit, that's not good. You know, she eventually calls her parents, and her dad's like, hey, yeah, I can get out of here. This is bad. It takes her parents a while to get there, but while this is going there, she realizes that there's potentially something actually in the milk. So she doesn't drink it, and the trees come for her after she's learned to like balance rocks. And yeah, she's then unfolded. Entire plot twist of the movie is, I don't, you know, I've watched this multiple times. I don't know what their end goal actually is in this movie. I don't have ever really figured out other than they like want to possess the girls and stay young.
Well, yeah, the girls were their magic conduit for power. And the power was coming from the trees.
Yeah.
And so they were going to be like, you know, witches that live forever in the forest.
Right.
Because they were aging and stuff. So I think they're like trying to get the power to like live forever.
Yeah,
I mean, they don't been, come out and say that.
But no, but they said like, we've been alive for hundreds of years. But, you know, but while that's going on, there, the you know, parents who try to take her away, they get into a car accident. Mom dies. Dad gets blood put in his mouth and just puts comatose. But eventually, he wakes up after puking up vile and trees and stuff like that, and comes to rescue as the daughter is Heather is being like in the middle of the ritual, stacking the stones because like once she completes all the stones being stacked, the transformation will be complete, I guess. And no, and then dad comes with an axe, starts chopping up some people. She gets the axe, chops up the rest of the people. Stones knock over. They escape. Everyone kind of lives because the other girls that weren't good candidates were going to be like sacrificed to the forest to help get their essence as well, because they're good. They're good, but not good enough to be transferable, I guess. And yeah, she kills them all and all the girls and her escape. And, you know, the woods burn as she's burning the test scores, but the trees were never touched. End of movie. Did I miss anything there?
No.
Yeah, it's
other than like the bully has like kind of a redemption.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's about it.
Because the bully was the one who called her dad.
Yeah.
And the bully was only bullying her to stop her from like follow, you know, like again drinking the Kool-Aid and following their step, you know. So
yeah,
wrong way to do it, in my opinion.
Correct. Yes, throwing people. I mean, obviously she threw the milk that she was trying to drink on her friend to make sure she didn't drink the milk. You see that on the rewatch, like, oh, she's actually doing it her really dumb way of trying to get her to not go with it. But yeah, there's other ways to do it. So, yeah. So, what do you remember your first thoughts when you watched this movie? Did you watch it when it came out, or was this your first time?
As far as I know, this is my first time.
Okay, so then we discussed, you didn't know if you had seen it or not.
Well, no, Mind Warp was the one I wasn't sure that I had seen.
Okay.
This one I know I haven't seen.
Okay. So, I mean, do you feel like it felt like a Lucky McKee movie?
I mean, this is one of his early films. You can see him like trying to fit where he ended up later on. But like, I mean, it's, yeah, it's kind of sort of, you can see the growing pains here.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's kind of like, more or less, it's kind of like, I don't know, like a Craft type of movie.
Craft meets Disturbing Behavior-esque, I'd say.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah, like I said, I waited a couple of years for this movie to come out because I saw the trailer. I'm like, oh, this looks great. And then I waited and waited and waited. I'm like, I don't think this is ever coming out. And Kylie was disappointed too, and she wanted to watch this, and she loves this movie. But yeah, so... why don't you go first with your highlights?
Okay, I like the dream sequences that she was having, like evil things happening in trees and stuff. Those were interesting and fun. I liked when she punched Samantha in the face. That was hilarious. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here thinking, like, while I'm watching, I was like, this seems familiar, and I can't quite place it. And it clicked to me, like, towards the end of the film, it clicked to me is, like, I just kind of sort of recently watched through the entire extended edition of Lord of the Rings. And it reminds me of Fangorn Forest, which is the trees that come alive.
Yeah.
And attack the people that hurt their friends when they were chopping them down. It really just feels like a modern retelling of the Fangorn Forest is what it feels like to me.
Okay. I can see that.
That's all I got.
That's all you got. You know, which is always fun. And yeah, I think it's funny that she uses Firecrotch as just like her bully name. He tells us like 1965 trying to bully. Right.
Yeah, but like, it's on my list too. Why is she so obsessed with her crotch?
I don't know.
Like, do you want to see it? Like, why is that the thing you like? That's so weird.
Well, she had to. I mean, she probably asked her at least 15 to 20 times about it.
Right. Like, she would not stop. She was like obsessed. I'm like, she wants to bone you.
Yeah.
Like, she's bullying you because she doesn't know how to deal with her feelings. But like, she is very interested in what you have down there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, and Bruce's pieces in it were good. I don't think they were, it was not hammy for him. It is a pretty serious role, I would say.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. He wasn't really in it long enough to have any kind of real character arc or anything.
I know. But it's just one of those small little cameos.
Well, it's longer than a cameo. I mean, he has quite a few speaking roles and stuff like that, but he doesn't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's just kind of there to show that her parents don't like hate her.
Yeah, but it's also Evil Woods, and then people probably go, you know who we should probably get? Bruce Campbell. Evil Woods makes sense. I don't disagree. But at least
of all horror movies take place in the fucking woods, man.
At least when he was going through the tool shed, he didn't pull out a chainsaw. He got an axe. That's all I have there. All of my little points have said not enough Bruce Campbell, I think. The clicks that they have, which I hate clicks. I hate seeing clicks in movies. They're annoying as hell, but they're a quintessential teenage school thing, especially in horror movies, to have. As we said, her bullying is just the most asinine way of going around it and doing it. So much better ways to say, hey, I have to talk to you. This is not a thing. But, you know, let's bully her instead. That's clearly not working.
Well, you know, teenagers sometimes have a hard time dealing with their feelings.
Yeah.
And sometimes they come out as, like, you know, hatred or bullying or whatever. Like, you really like the person or whatever, but for whatever reason, you, like, don't want to admit it to yourself. So you have to, like, pick on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was never the bully. I was always the bullied.
Oh, same.
So same. I can only assume that these things are true.
Yeah. Can we stop making drinking milk be so gross and look so gross and sound so
milk
gross.
Milk is fucking gross. Like,
but I mean,
I can't drink a glass of milk. Like, I see a glass of milk and people drink it, I'm like, man, that would hurt. You know, I'm not that lactose intolerant, but I am a little bit. But like, I couldn't drink a glass of fucking milk. Oh, I used to all the time when I was a kid, though. Okay, I'm gonna date myself. Like, when I was a kid, there was no fucking bottles of water.
No.
It was like, what did you drink? You either drank like soda or fucking milk.
Yep.
That was it. You didn't drink water. You didn't drink water from the tap like a savage. Yep. Like, no, you drank fucking milk or you drank, you know, soda. So it's like you come home from school or whatever, you drink a glass of milk. Now I feel like cringe. Like, ugh, I can't believe I drink a glass of milk.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Oh,
my dad still has a glass of milk every night for dinner.
Ugh.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't do it anymore because it destroys me.
Yeah, again, I can eat cheese. Like, I'm totally fine. It's just like a glass of milk. No. Like, anything with like actual cream in it. No.
Yeah. And of course, then the milk vomit was disgusting too.
Well, yeah.
So, and like I said, this, the kind of vagueness that exists about the ending of this movie, it's like you have to piece a lot of it together yourself. They don't really say it. I wish they explained a little bit more, but I guess that's kind of the mystery of the end part too. Is like we don't know what actually happened. So,
right.
That's what I have. What are your little points?
A lot of the same. Again, Samantha, the whole mean girl bully thing, the fire crotch obsession.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom sucked. Yes. Her mom was like, "Oh, I'm happy you're not here, so I can have like dinner parties and shit."
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, but I want to come home. And she's like, nope. And just like hung off the phone. Like, absolutely not. The dad obviously cared enough to come. But like the mom was like, nope, see you later. Having a dinner party.
Mm-hmm.
And again, yeah, Bruce Campbell really doesn't do much in this movie. Like he tries to like help. He tries to be the hero and he just fails like every time. I understand it's not his movie. But
yeah, I mean, he does free her enough so she can finish it. He does take out one of the witches. Yeah,
I'm just saying, it really doesn't feel like he did a whole lot in this movie. He's not in it for a whole lot. There's like, I don't know, he's only in the movie for like a total of what, like 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, he did a good job in the role. I'm not going to say he didn't do a good job. I'm just saying, like, he's not there a whole lot.
Nope.
But that's all I got.
All right. So, how many secret societies out of 10 do you give The Woods from 2006?
It's not bad. It's not great. 5.5.
Yeah, it's the last. I said the wife watches this movie a lot more than I do. She likes The Craft and stuff like that, so it kind of makes sense. It's an interesting movie. Like I said, never analytically sat down and watched it until this episode. So you kind of look for things and see things that you wouldn't normally see necessarily, right? And take note of. That all being said, I agree. It's I'd say a 7 secret societies out of 10 for me. But it could be better. But it has the pieces there to be an interesting movie. I would have maybe love to see the sequel to see what else is going on there. Maybe a legacy sequel is now however many years later. And I'd love to see if, like, you know, Heather actually has powers and is able to do more stuff. Don't know. So. All right. Well, anything left to add to this Bruce Campbell-filled episode?
Nope. Not for me, anyway.
Okay. Well, stop and listen. Can a recent American remake capture the same feel as the original? I don't want to spoil too much because I know you haven't seen either of these.
I have not, no.
So I can't see how much it's been Americanized versus not. I know you've heard a little bit from me. I never told you the twist that's there. But yeah, we'll see. And because it's only I think a year and a half to 2 years max between the original remake, the original of Hear No Evil and the American remake.
And yeah, it's, well, it's like the, you know, the Japanese remakes they did. Mm-hmm. They were within just a couple of few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're just jumping on that train. They jumped on that hype train.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. We'll see how bad the Killing of a Sacred Deer can be, because that is, from my understanding, I've never seen Killing of a Sacred Deer, is close-ish to Hear No Evil.
Well, it's funny because, yeah, I've seen Killing of a Sacred Deer, but I have not seen the other two. You've seen the other two, and I've not seen Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, well, we'll hope that we can answer this, and maybe then we can go back to enjoying our vacations in the countryside, because sometimes they're pretty spooky and dangerous, right? So I'm excited. I'm excited to get into this episode. It's been something I've been looking forward to since the remake was announced. So yeah. All right. Well, remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to. And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
And this is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.